Stay relevant and up to date. Keep you informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Hello and welcome to High FM's Cooking Corner. I'm Adrian from Pressuring Your Life, and this is my first show of the year. So I decided to start the show off with talking about how I keep in track with my meal planning, how I make my life a little easier every day. And one of the things that I have is my meal plan template. Now, for those that have seen my blog or follow on Facebook, they'll understand that I use the template a lot. And the template is just a guide to help you create a well-balanced weekly meal plan or menu. It helps you organize your thoughts, and it just makes feeding fussy eaters a little easier. My template does change from time to time, and that's mostly because I do enjoy cooking and experimenting, but the basic principle of what's on the template stays the same. So for the last while, my template has been this. On Monday, we have vegan. That is totally meat-free vegan. Vegan is a challenge sometimes to cook because it challenges what we feel should be in a meal. Your protein, having to look for a different source of protein that people don't often associate with protein. So having a peanut sauce, you know, might confuse people and go, where's your protein? That's an important thing. Then Tuesday I do fish or vegetarian. So there my protein obviously is my fish, or it'll be my soya or, you know, eggs, something like that. It still challenges most people's concept of protein, forgetting that egg is a very good protein. People assume or associate proteins with meat. So another challenge. And it's a challenge in my house because my family don't actually like fish. Well, not all of them. Wednesdays is mince. This can be anything made from ground meat. So whether it's chicken mince, beef mince, lamb mince, whatever it is, that is my template. And then the Thursdays and Fridays I alternate. Obviously because Friday is Shabbos, but we don't want to have the same thing every day. So one Thursday we'll have meat and the next Thursday we'll have chicken, and Shabbos is the opposite. So if the Thursday is meat, then Shabbos is chicken. And if the Thursday is chicken, then the Friday will be meat. And here once again is a challenge to change the way we eat, to change the way we think about our Friday night meals and what are we preparing. You know, because most of these meats obviously have to be in gravy, because otherwise by the time you sit down for Shabbos supper, it's all dried out. And that's a big thing. And also, what kind of meats does everybody love? It also helps, you know, I can remember growing up that Shabbos and Yontov was always a meat and a chicken dish for Yontov or for Friday night. Nowadays, people can't afford to do both. And do we really need to eat that much food? Especially Friday, we're having 90% of the families will have a starter. So a soup of some kind, and that's where I have fun, because in summer we have cold soups. I know a lot of families don't eat cold soup, but mine are thankfully quite experimental with soup and quite like it in any form, that, you know, whether it's hot or cold. Then I do know some families that still have their fish starter and are adamant that there has to be fish on a Friday night. And then they have their meat course, which is meat and chicken. And that's where I've done away with two of those things. If we're having soup, we don't have a fish starter. If we're not having soup, then I will do the fish starter, just because it needs to be a more special meal. There's always salad, obviously. And then for dessert, my family are not big dessert eaters, so I don't often serve dessert, but I know families who like dessert and they like to make it special. And there's some very easy recipes, and it doesn't matter if your dessert is just a bowl of jelly, you know, dessert's dessert, jelly and fruit salad. You can buy the packaged, custard and make that, you know, with soya milk. And you've got jelly and custard for Friday night. So those are different options. You know, brownies, what, something special for your Friday night. Now with this template, my template only does Monday to Friday. The weekends are basically fend for yourself days. If there's leftovers from any meals during the year, the week, sorry, not the year, wait, that would be terrible. If any leftovers from during the week, then go help yourselves, heat it up, finish it. Otherwise, there is cereal, and in my house, everybody is capable of cooking an egg. Well, they're old enough. Whether they do it or not is another story. But there's also bread and peanut butter. So there's plenty around. Now, this template is the basis of my year-round meal plan. And what I've done this year for 2019 is I've taken or tried to add a new country to each week to get it started. So while there are foods that are from other countries throughout the week, sometimes we can do foods from three or four different countries, there is always one new country from each one. And that's been a huge, you know, a way for me to get my cooking going and to just bring some life back into the foods that I am producing. So some ideas that I've had, for the people who subscribe to my meal plans, we're on our third week now. And so some of the ideas have been Singapore. Well, that we haven't got to yet, I have to admit. But we've done Italy, we've done France, we've done England, we've done Ireland, the US, and anyone can guess what the US one was, burgers. Italy we've done a few times because I love my gnocchi. And stews and things. So taking your trip around the world makes a big difference to how you cook and how you see food. But it's also an idea and a learning experience for the family. And it's a way for you and your family, maybe to, you know, if it's up to it, is for you and your family to learn about new cultures, to learn about new differences. You know, where you're looking at America, we all know America, oh, big deal, it's burgers and fries. But what about Australia? What about, you know, different countries in Asia? Last year was a disaster. I did one from Russia called Varenki, which is I'm not sure how to describe it, but it's a potato-filled pastry that you're supposed to boil. It was terrible. Absolutely shocking. I don't know what I did, but it was these heavy dumpling things that just were ugly and nobody could eat them. It was a waste of 3 hours of work, I must admit. So I'm also careful when choosing my new recipes. How long are they going to take me to make? One of our favorite British recipes at home is the beef Wellington, and I do need to know when I'm going to make it, because that can take 3 hours. It takes a bit of planning, and you've got to refrigerate, and, you know, the right cut of meat, and the pastry's got to be sitting. So all of those things. So that's why you know, the template is a great thing, because it also helps you plan. What are your days like? What are your busy days? Don't plan an elaborate meal on a day where you know you're not going to have time because you've got kids running around, you've got extramurals, you've got meetings planned, you've got to do your monthly shopping, you know, all those things. And that's where also a lot of my meat recipes go, is can it be made in the slow cooker while I'm at work? Or can it be made in a pressure cooker in a quarter of the time? So if something's 3 hours, can I do it in 20 minutes? Will it work in a pressure cooker? And that's something great. The template has so many uses. It just, you don't only need to use it for supper. You can use it for lunch. You can use it for breakfast, especially if you're dieting. That's, you know, a big thing, a big positive about the template. So we'll be back just after this break. Thank you very much for listening to Chai FM Cooking Corner. It's Adrian here.
Stay relevant and up to date. Keep you informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back to the High Cooking Corner with Adrian from Cushering Your Life. I'm talking about meal planning templates. As I said before the break, the template can be made to fit either dinner or lunch or breakfast or all three, especially if you're dieting. With a diet and if it's a calorie controlled diet, you need to be able to sit down and plan ahead that this is what I'm eating today. And then you need to look at it. What do I feel like today? And one of the things that I've learned over the years with dieting is that denying yourself food makes things much more difficult. So when you're working out your template to do your meal plan, you can see what days you're going to have a much lighter day. And that can be your so-called cheat day. There's no real cheat day as such, because in your meal plan template, you're going to allow yourself, or in your meal plan, you're going to allow yourself all those things that you think you're cheating with. And fitting them in, you know, with the template and with the meal plan, make sure that you don't go over the calories that you're allowed. Make sure that you don't go over the fat allowances or the sugar allowances that you're not allowed. And it'll even work for people who are banting even better, because it allows them to see during their week which of their food sources that they are using. Are they coming from the green more than, are they using enough green ingredients in their green list? How many ingredients from the orange list have they used? Things that you can't have a lot of. And for diabetics as well, you know, looking at what kind of foods have you made? Have you made foods this week that are going to be heavy in fats, which are really bad for you? Or have you made light meals with complex carbohydrates that will help you maintain your sugar levels, not have spikes, and just keep you well for the day? So now, the template is only a suggestion. And I can hear people saying, I hate meal planning. I like to be spontaneous and that. But the thought of going to shops after work and then still deciding what am I going to make for supper, it's just too much for me. I think I would absolutely go insane. So the meal plan template helps you this way, because you have your suggestion. You have your suggestion of what your main ingredient is going to be. So today is Tuesday, and we're vegetarian or fish. Go into your shop, and the first place you need to go is go and see what fish you want for dinner. Whether you're buying the boxed fish or whether you're going to the fishmonger and choosing a really good piece of fresh, relatively fresh fish, it doesn't matter. You've now chosen your piece of fish. From there, you can decide what you want to put with your fish. What ingredients are you going to add to it? What vegetables are you going to do? How are you going to cook it? How much time is it going to take from there? So Tuesday, you've bought your piece of fish, it's in your trolley. Now it's time to wander up and down the aisles, if that's what you enjoy doing, and to choose the ingredients that would go well with the fish. The reason I say I don't like this is, first of all, wandering up and down the aisles of the shops. Sorry, it's too many. Secondly, too many people. I'm quite happy to do my shopping at midnight when no one can see me and I can sit in my pajamas. And the other thing is that you land up often buying stuff that you're not going to use. So you've gone into the shop, you're hungry, you've got your fish, and now you're walking and there's just all these different things that can go with this fish. You know, you've bought a piece of hake. Oh, look, there's tomato jam, or there's rosemary, and there's lemons, and there's mushrooms to make a mushroom sauce, or, you know, there's just so much to choose from. And what vegetables are you going to serve with it? Are you going to serve peas and mashed potato, which grow really well when you're making soles? But also, what fish came on special? Angelfish is a very nice fish to have. It's even for my non-fish eaters, they say to me it sort of tastes a bit like chicken. So you've got a more robust fish, which means you can do heavier vegetables and a heavier sauce. Or you've decided to do something delicate like sole, or you want a salmon. And one of my best salmons that I've ever tasted, and unfortunately don't have the recipe for, is from Alan Bender, which was his chili treacle salmon. I will get the recipe right one day. But here you're able to choose what goes well with these. Well, with salmon, your green beans, your carrots, potatoes, anything like it. And if you've chosen a fish that is quick and easy to make, well, then you know that you can spend time on the vegetables. So maybe you want to do something different, like a fondant potato. A fondant potato is basically, I'm not sure why it's called fondant, but it's a piece of potato cut into sort of a rectangle, almost like you would do chips, but before you could finish making it into chips, you just left that square and you fry it in some butter. It's absolutely wonderful. Really not the healthiest way to do it, but it works and it tastes good. So you've got time to experiment. You want to make a sauce for your fish. You've got time for that. You've now chosen what you want to make. And that just so much easier. So you didn't have to plan a meal. You didn't have to plan your recipe or go search for your recipe. You can just get what you want and go. Now, I even know of some people who don't cook, and they use this meal plan template to go and eat out. So what they've done is they've had a look at restaurants that are, that have specials on different days of the week. So they'll go to, okay, obviously these are not kosher people, but they'll go to Spur on a Monday night for their, I think they have a Spur burger special. I know one of the fish restaurants does Tuesday night. There's another meat place that has specials on a Thursday. And if you look around, and I know Cape Town has it, we unfortunately don't have anyone who did that, but somebody actually did a directory with all the specials from all the restaurants. Must have taken absolute fortune of work, and don't expect that from me anytime soon. But it also means you can plan, you know, your work meals. The template means that you can plan business lunches, because you know what you're having for supper. So don't go out to a place that you're going to get the same food at lunchtime. Because honestly, nobody wants to come home from work after having fish and then have some more fish. Unless you're a vegetarian, then you don't mind the fish. But for husbands, I mean, I think that's a great thing, is if they know what your main meal plan is, if it's their template, they don't have the excuse, oh, but I had it for lunch. The excuse is no longer valid. You knew that tonight was this, so why did you go and eat that? You know, it just makes things better. And it does help with the question of what's for dinner. Okay. And obviously, to eat at a restaurant every day, it might work quite well if you're a single person or just a couple without any kids. But once you've got kids, it can be a little disorganized. Another way that your meal plan template can work is a lot of the stores have the ready-made meals. So you can go to your deli counter and get tonight's meal. So we've got Wednesday's mince. Go to the counter, have a look. What mince? They've got cottage pie. Great, there's your dinner for tonight. All those things work in your favor, and it makes deciding what's for supper much easier. I definitely, I know my older daughter needs it. Not my older daughter, my middle daughter, should I say. She is quite indecisive, especially when we go out to restaurants. She can never decide what she feels like eating. She never knows what she wants. So it's just easier if I say to her, okay, well, we're out on a Thursday night, so have some beef because tomorrow we're having chicken. Well, there you go. Now she knows. Half her decision is taken away from her. So when we come back, we're going to talk again a little bit more about how the templates and how I use my templates. And from there, you know, how can you use them to create school lunches? How can you use it to create breakfasts for dieters. Today I'm talking about meal plan templates. I'm Adrian from Cluttering Your Life. So let's talk about some more about the templates and how they work to stream your life, you know, just make life easier. So I said that my basic template is Monday is vegan, Tuesday is fish or vegetarian, Wednesday is mince, Thursday is meat or chicken, and Friday is chicken or meat. And then Saturdays, you know, for supper, if they're still hungry, there's leftovers, and Sundays is eggs. So I use my meal plan to plan my entire month. It's not necessary to do that. Some people find it a little daunting to plan an entire month's worth of menus just in one sitting. They'd like to do once a week because in case you miss the specials or something. Just remember your meal plan is never set in stone. So it can be changed to suit the needs. And one of the things is that you can also then use it to, you know, create a way of including birthday dinners and to use up specials that come up. So when I drew up my meal plan template originally, it was just because I didn't know what to make for dinner. I really had no ideas. I would sit there and have all these hungry people, and at one stage we pretty much were eating pasta every night. I was working. It was exhausting. I would come home and then still have to cook. And you take whatever's easiest, and whatever's easiest just happens to be pasta because you can stick it in a pot and boil it. So I was looking back over some of my old templates, and it's amazing how they've changed a little, but not that much. Monday has always been my meat-free day. Tuesday was the International Dish or New Recipe Day. That was a day I was going to attempt a new recipe. I have to admit, I didn't really stick to it because I would often attempt a new recipe more than once a week. On a Wednesday, my meal had to be ready within 30 minutes or less. That was because we had extramurals in the evening and I came home late from work. So it just needed to be quick. It needed to be ready and on the table literally within an hour of getting home from work. So it doesn't leave a lot of time. And then Thursdays was my mince. And Friday night was what, soup, salad, meat or chicken, which hasn't changed, one starch, two veg and dessert. Those were my original things. Now, when we use the template to start a meal plan, and like I said, I start meal planning for the month, obviously everybody must do how they find it easiest, but for me, the whole month is easiest. What I do is I start with the things I do know. So Wednesday is mince. I know that. So I have about 10 mince ideas. So I write that down each week. We do bolognese 1 week. The next week is chili con carne or with or without the chili, depending. I can do cottage pie or shepherd's pie, sloppy joes, mince pies, and in summer tacos because my kids absolutely love tacos. But there are just so many ideas. Then we've got Mondays and Tuesdays, which is meat-free, so pasta, fish, vegetarian, soya, all of those things. The recipes that needed to be ready in 30 minutes, well, there's some wonderful websites to go onto to have a look and get them done ready in 30 minutes. The other way to get around the 30-minute one is actually to prep your stuff beforehand so that when you come home, all you do is shove everything together. And it makes a one-pot meal. And I love one-pot meals. Less things to clean up. Everything cooks together and the flavors are always good. Egg night, my favorite night of the week was egg night. It's Sunday night eggs. My kids or my husband or whoever is available, they get to cook. I can sit. I don't cook at all. Leftovers are very rare in my house. And if there are leftovers, it was because more than one person didn't like it. But they don't last long. So sometimes, even though the weekend is supposed to be, fend for yourself, eat your leftovers, it doesn't always work that way. but it is. It's the beginning. If it's left over from the week, you can have it. Otherwise, it gets tossed, supposedly, on the first day of the next week. I don't want all food in my fridge. And I don't have that big enough a fridge to keep food for too long. And I often forget to freeze. Usually it's not enough to freeze. I don't often have leftovers. But let's talk about how a meal plan template is going to help you with meal planning for a diet. That's something even more difficult. And this is where you've got to decide what you want from your diet. You know, how much time do you have in the mornings? Are you prepared to get up earlier? You cook. That's an important thing as well, because you don't want to put something on your meal plan that you're now going to have to get up an extra 20 minutes early so that you can have a decent breakfast. So the template's going to help in that way as well. You know that Monday is vegan, so why not some muesli? Homemade granola, really easy to do, and you can make it to suit yourself. So for me, like a granola, as long as there are no fruit pieces in it, I'm happy, and no coconut flakes. But maybe you like more coconut flakes than you do the nuts, or the sunflower seeds, or the sesame seeds, or the poppy seeds, whatever you've put into your granola. Granola is quick and easy, and if you mix it with a nice yogurt, it's a meal on the go. You could actually put it in a jar and eat it on your way to work, or even eat it at your desk at work, which is an important factor of meal planning and dieting. It's the fact that you need to eat proper meals when the time is right. Another one to look at is when you're planning, say, Wednesday is fish, or say Tuesday is fish. You don't want to make yourself a tuna salad for lunch as well, and then you're going to have tuna lasagna for supper. It's a bit too much tuna. But why not make yourself a tuna salad for lunch and a different kind of fish for supper? Something that'll take you a quick few minutes, something that's not going to be fussy. Wrapping a piece of hake in some foil with a wedge of lemon, some onion and some tomato and spices, seal it up, stick it in the oven, go get a shower, get changed out of your work clothes, relax, and in 20 minutes your supper is ready and you're more comfortable as well. So that's an important part of your template. Also, when you're dieting, you want to say have a special meal. You know with your plan that Thursday is so-and-so's birthday, and you're going to be expected to go out to the restaurant and eat. So look at your template, see what it is, and see what you can change for during the day. You want to then eat food that is very low in calories so that you can save your calories for the evening. It doesn't mean you can just go splurge, but it does mean you can have a little bit extra. You don't have to feel guilty about the burger bun that you're going to eat with your burger, or the chips or the rice that you're having with your fish. So I would say grilled fish and rice, don't worry about the carbs, because during the day you were watching those because you knew you were going out. That's another important aspect of how to do your meal plan template. Another thing is that you need to understand that with the templates and with a meal plan, they go together. They help you also decide on school lunches. School lunches are a very important part, and you can actually have a separate template for that if you'd like. You don't need to use your evening template. Your school plan template can be made specifically and based on what kind of activities your kids do each day, and where will they be eating lunch? Are they eating lunch in the car, or are they going to actually be able to sit at your table and eat? We're going to take a short ad break now, and we'll be back in a few minutes. This is Adrian on Hi FM talking about meal planning and meal plan templates.
Stay relevant and up-to-date. This is 101.9
Hi
FM.
Hi, and welcome back to Hi FM. This is Adrian on Kosher Cooking Corner, for talking about meal planning and meal planning templates. Okay, so I was just talking now, and we were saying that your meal plans and your templates can include your school lunches. They can be specific for school lunches too. And this way is where it helps you decide what you're going to send to school, what days are the kids going to get tuck shop, if there is tuck shop available. It helps you give the kids the best meals possible to eat at schools. Now, I've learned that my kids pretty much only eat wraps at school. Sandwiches are just somehow not on the menu. I have managed to find a way around that. I take a rolling pin, I take the crusts off the bread, and I turn those into wraps. I roll the bread out flat as I can, and then roll my fillings in there. And this is a healthy way to get kids to eat vegetables and other stuff that they generally won't eat, because you can always hide it in there. You just need to remember a couple of important steps about meal planning. And one of those is that it's not written in stone. You can change it anytime you like. Kids don't like something that you've been planning, take it out. Kids really like something you've been planning, well, add it in again. There's no such thing. I think at one stage, if my kids had had macaroni and cheese every single week, they would be happy. Burgers, not so much, but spaghetti bolognese, definitely. So you need to decide how it would suit your family and how the tuck shop fits in with your meal plan. What are your kids doing? What sports are they doing? Is there extramural drama, or is it extramural dancing? Is the extramural chess, or is the extramural rugby? Those kind of things are very important with meal planning and with your template, because then you need to know that on those days where they're doing high energy things, you want food that is high in protein and high in carbohydrates to give them the energy to get through the day. Now, I'm not talking things like energy drinks or, you know, white bread. I'm talking about good carbohydrates. Rice cakes are not, as much as everybody likes to think they are good carbohydrates and healthy instead of bread, they're actually not. They're just as bad. However, the corn thins, the corn cakes, are much better. So all of these things need to be taken into account when you're planning. Also, is the extramural at school? So do you have a big enough lunchbox for them? Are you able to send it to school with them? Are you going to have to take the lunch to school to join it? Are they going to be eating on the bus from the school to whatever extramural they're going to be on? Are they eating in the back of your car? Then you don't want things that are going to fall apart and make a mess or very heavy on sauce. I know at one stage, it sounds strange, but one of my kids really loved cut up vegetables with dipping sauce. And that's an easy snack to put in the car. And what we did for the starch then was I made from the wraps, I would put them in the oven with a little bit of oil on top, brushed across, and some herbs, and turn them into crisps. So little tortilla chips, which is much healthier than buying them a packet of crisps, which have been deep fried in oil. So these are alternatives that the kids can have, and you can make things that don't need to be heated up. Generally, if you've got neat and tidy girls or neat and tidy children, you can do a salad in a bowl that they can eat in the car. Salads in the jar, I know, is at one stage was this big fancy thing, but it's actually quite useful because it comes with a lid and you just stick your spoon in. The thing with a salad is if you do it in layers, it takes a while to get to all the layers, so it doesn't look pretty if you do it so that they get all the important stuff all at the same time with one fourth full down into your jar. So that's an important thing. Also, things change. So what works for you this week may not work for you next week. You need to be able to check it out. As I said before, I kind of like planning the whole month in advance. Now, it doesn't always mean that I'm going to stick to the meal plan for the whole month. There are going to come up times where something special comes up or an unexpected invitation out, or I suddenly have extra people for supper, which has happened more than once. Got home from work to discover 10 teenagers for supper and no food. So you need to be able to adapt and adjust your plans. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You just change it around. And that's an important thing. Meal planning is meant to make your life easier. So you need the flexibility. Plan by the week. It works. Plan by the month, but only go by for the week. That way, if next week something comes up and you need to change it, that's great. We've had it more than once where I've planned a meal and remembered or had an invitation and we're off to a wedding. Now, I'm not going to make food that I would like and not eat it. So what I'll often do is then change my meal plan and make food that the kids would like, because I'm not home, so it doesn't worry me. And I'm happy then for them to have their horrible, which they're absolute, thank you, Gilla, they love, is spaghetti and tomato sauce with cheese, and some of them put tuna in it. To me, that's not a proper meal. I need a proper meal. But it's a great for after school lunch, I must admit. So that's where the thing that comes. And when I'm planning for people, it's an important thing that we take into account. What is their day like? So now, when you're meal planning, don't only think about what the kids have got on for the day at school. What about you? What about your partner? What do they have on for the day at work? Do they have a business lunch, or are they going to have to eat at their desk? And that's a different story, because that planning takes a little bit of doing. You need to take into consideration that you're in public. So you can't make foods that are going to stink to high heaven to eat at your desk or leave you with bad breath when you're about to go into a meeting. None of those things are going to work very well. The type of things that you need to know with a meal plan template is that it has to suit you. That's the first thing. So don't put fish on a template if nobody in your house actually eats fish. Try something else. Go more vegetarian if you want to. I know at the moment it's called veganuary. Well, basically something like that. It's Vegan January. And they have a ton of vegan recipes. We have some very good products here in this country that are vegetarian that would substitute for meat, and they're quick and easy to cook. So that's something. Pasta, one of the things I've learned from reading American blogs, it's not something we have so much here, but you can get them, is the instant noodles. But instant noodles, that package in your instant noodles is not really healthy. And sometimes it's just not enough. So what often happens is you can take those instant noodles because you need a quick meal on the go, take some frozen vegetables, add it in, pour your boiling water in, close the lid or whatever you're using, and wait, and you have a healthy meal. And the kids can do that themselves too, the older ones. I mean, all it is boiling the kettle. It's not a really big thing. So your nighttime, do you have a share? Or your lunchtime, do you have like three different lift screams at three different times? How do you plan around those? And that's where you need to look at what food have you got in the fridge? What can you make that you can do in a hurry? What will be ready in less than 30 minutes? Just to give you time. My kids sometimes like out and they get what we call pizza toast. Pizza toast is where I take a piece of bread, I put some tomato sauce on, I put some Italian mixed herbs, grate some cheese and stick it under the grill for 5 minutes. And there they have pizza toast. It's still a healthier version. It's not as oily as normal pizza, and everybody loves that. Okay, we're going to take a short break for an ad now, and we will be back soon. Stay tuned to Chai FM's Cooking Corner.
Stay relevant and up to date. This is 101.9
Chai
FM.
Hi, and welcome back to Chai Cooking Corner. I'm Adrian from Kashering Your Life. And we've been talking about meal plans and meal plan templates. So this week, actually, on my meal plan for last night, for Monday night, was gnocchi with tomatoes, cherry tomatoes. So I'm going to share the recipe, which you'll be able to find on the website after the show. Gnocchi is a sort of potato-type pasta. You can call it that. Now, if you don't want to make your own gnocchi, that's great. You can go into the stores. You can even buy a kosher ready-made gnocchi. They're easy to make. You just reboil them very quick. Now, gnocchi can be actually a side dish or a main dish. It depends on what you want. So here is the recipe to make the gnocchi with cherry tomatoes. So 2 potatoes, rinsed and scrubbed, 1 cup of flour, 1/2 cup of whole wheat flour, 1 egg, 4 cups of cherry tomatoes, 3 cloves of garlic, finely sliced, 4 tablespoons of oil, and that's divided, so you do 2 and 2. Some coarse salt or that you can grind, freshly ground pepper, and fresh basil for garnish. Obviously, this is optional. If you're not a big fresh herb user, then don't go buy basil just for it to go off in your oven, in your fridge, sorry. Right, how to make your gnocchi. So the first thing we're going to do is preheat your oven to 200. You arrange the tomatoes on a baking sheet with the garlic slices over it, and you toss the whole lot in some olive oil with a good pinch of salt and pepper. You're going to roast these for about 20 to 25 minutes in your oven until the potatoes are sort of starting to blister and get a little wilted. Some of them may burst a little, but that's when they're perfect. You're going to take them out, put them aside. Now you peel your potatoes, chop them up quite roughly, and you're going to boil for 20 minutes. The reason I say peel and chop them now is because it cooks quicker that way. Once they're cooked and tender, you're going to rinse them under cold water in a large colander just so that it gets rid of all the starch that is left on the potato. Mash the potatoes. You need to be very careful. I know it's very tempting to mash potatoes with a stick blender, but you can land up mashing them so that they actually turn to glue. And that's the starch in the from the blender. In a large bowl, you're going to put your potatoes, you're going to make a well in the center of the potato mash, and you're going to add almost all the flour. Not all of it, but almost all. Crack your egg into, or pour your egg into the well in the middle and season with salt and pepper. And then using a fork, you're going to start incorporating the egg into the flour and potato mixture. It takes about 2 minutes for it all to be together. Once it's all really nicely mixed together, you're going to use your hands to knead the flour, the potato dough, as if it was real dough. Once it's soft and pliable and not sticking to your hand, it's ready. If you need to add a little bit more flour, then do so. Now, on a floured surface, lightly floured surface, you're going to take a small part of your dough. Please do it in small batches, otherwise it gets a little too much. And you're going to roll it out into a long, thin lodge. As if you were doing a challah roll, you know, one of the strands of your challah, just slightly, much smaller than that. And then using a knife, a straight edge knife, don't use serrated ones, otherwise it tears the dough instead of slices it. You're going to cut them up into, I'd say 1 to 2 centimeter pieces, okay? Keeping them on a floured surface, and those are your gnocchi. That is your gnocchi. And we're almost ready to eat. You're going to continue with the entire mound of dough until you've got enough gnocchi. Or if you're only making a small bit and you want to freeze it, you want to use it again, say you're making just for 2 people, and this dough recipe definitely makes for 4, just halve your dough, put half in the freezer, and then make all the gnocchi with the leftover dough. Toss this very slightly into flour before you cook them. Otherwise, they stick together. Now, you've got to take a pot of water, put quite a bit of salt in, and bring it to boil. The water must be bubbling when you add your gnocchi. If it's not yet at the boil, the gnocchi is not going to work. It must actually be bubbling. Take the gnocchi, but do it in batches. Put a little bit at a time into the pot. And as soon as they're cooked, they float to the top. It usually takes about 2 minutes. And then you take them out. Now, what I like to do with mine, it's not necessary. I just like to give them a bit of color. So I often just fry them up on the stove, you know, just to make them a little bit, to give them that brown color. But you can use it as it is. Add them into your tomatoes, your cherry tomatoes that are slightly blistered and have nicely melted. And if you really want, you can just put some cheese on. So I'm going to talk about how to turn the cherry tomatoes into an actual sauce. You've now got your roasted little cherry tomatoes. You're going to put them into a medium-sized pot, and you're going to mash them until it becomes almost liquidy, like saucy. Now, if you don't like the tomato skins, you're free to remove them now or just before you mash them. They come off easily once you've already boiled your tomatoes. Sorry. Once you've mashed your tomatoes, they become almost like a sauce. So it's not a real sauce for your gnocchi, but it is nice and creamy. Add some basil leaves and the last of your oil, and then simmer in the pot just for a few minutes, just to reheat everything through. Season with salt and pepper. And then if you have, you can grate some Parmesan cheese on top of that. And that makes a delicious and really quick supper to make. The gnocchi obviously is not quick. It takes 20 minutes. But what you can do is with the potatoes, boiling the potatoes, you can actually do that the night before. So that when you come home, while your tomatoes are roasting, you can make the actual dough without having to wait for the potatoes to boil. And I find that works very nicely. We serve it with fresh salad. I leave the tomatoes on, but that, like I said, is up to everybody. I leave the tomato skin, should I say, on. But that's up to you. It's your personal choice on how you like it. So I hope you enjoyed today's show and learned a little bit about meal planning and how that goes. And we'll carry on further on meal planning as we go along. You're listening to Adrian on IFM, Kosher Cooking Corner.